joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. And that is as true this morning as I have ever known it. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. Wonderful to see the building looks like full. So, going to have Brother Wade have to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be back in your house. I pray that you would watch over us this morning, be with us, Lord, protect everybody from in any way getting infected. And I pray and I trust that you will. Bless this message, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be fed, and I pray that your Son would be glorified. I pray that you would be glorified. Watch over us. Be with Brother Dickie as he comes forward this morning. Bless him to deliver a message that would be glorifying to you. We thank you. We love you. Pray for everybody here. Pray for their safety and safe travels home. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wade. Well, I've been preaching through Romans, but my mind just could not get settled that that's what I was supposed to do today. And so we're going to begin by looking at a verse out of the book of Job, chapter 10 and verse 16. And we'll notice the subject of changing lives. Changing lives. Book of Job, chapter 10 and verse 16. He speaks to us about the fact that there have been many changes in his life. And he talks about the confusion you'll see in the verse above that, verse 15. He speaks about the fact that he has great affliction. He speaks that it's as if he's being hunted like a fierce lion. And yet he says that there is shown unto him marvelous, really experiences, blessings, and truths. And then in verse 17, thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Now, if anybody has ever felt like change was against them, it had to be Job. Job lost his 10 children. Job lost all of his flocks. And he lost everything that was in the field. And then you may remember, Job lost his health. Job was struck with a malady that actually brought boils upon his whole body. And you perhaps have heard this saying that I've escaped but by the skin of my teeth. And that was a literal description of Job. Now, we're not so much used to boils nowadays, but they are wounds that sort of eat deep into your flesh, and they have pain that is impossible to really deal with. And without being too gruesome, Job actually took a potsherd, or pieces of a broken pot, and he would scrape those wounds to try to get the infection out. Now, Job was having a tough time. And this passage says that it was as if he had been pursued by a lion. In other words, he couldn't get away from it. And you can imagine if a lion was mauling you. And then Job says that he yet, even though that was the case, there were things that were marvelous. Now, you and I might think that marvelous means wonderful. But more than likely, this term here means They were beyond comprehension. They were so bad. I marveled at how horrible it was. And he says, change is as war, and it is against me. I guess all of us have been changed over the last few months. It's sure been a change to preach to an empty building. What I did is I had Rusty go over here, and then I had him go to the back, and then I had him come up here, and he would sit here, and then he would go there, and then we'd put him in the back for a while, and then go, that's not true. But it was different, wasn't it? Matthew was here most of the mornings. We have all been affected in a very great way. I read this week that the virus itself is 1.25 nanometer sphere. Now, I don't even know what that means, but anyway, it's small. That is 1 billionth of a yardstick, tiny. But it has a punch to it, doesn't it? And for decades, we've worried about larger things, right? I mean, Charlotte and Anderson went to Arkansas for his baccalaureate over the last 2 days. And I don't know, this is just a weakness of mine, but when Charlotte's gone and she's in the car, I just, well, some of you would say, well, you worry all the time anyway, Brother Dickie, and I guess that's true. But I especially worry, it seems like, when Charlotte's gone in a car. And it's just like I'm supposed to be there because I'm such a great driver and taking care of her. And so you probably worry about something. Everybody's perhaps been at least concerned about getting the virus. Some more than others. Perhaps others have been affected more by the stock market. Others have been affected more by the fact that they're actually working in the medical field in, you know, with all the paraphernalia on, scared to death that they'll even get it and take it home to their family. Others perhaps have been worried or concerned because you're thinking, will my job ever come back? You know, it's not like we can just stay quarantined for the rest of our lives. What is going on, and when are things going to be normal again? Well, with Job, there's a sense in which things never were normal again. And then there's a sense in which God blessed him immensely, even though things weren't ever totally normal again. He was given a new family, 10 more children. He had the blessings of wealth and health, and he was blessed greatly. So it's amazing. And you think, well, a virus, how can you find a virus in the Bible? Well, I don't guess you can, but you can find ants, and you can find locusts, and you can find lizards, and all of these things that bugged people back then. And so we certainly have the truth of the Word that applies to us in any condition. And we need to have the realization that that life may change, like the old saying says, on a dime. Because we are opposed to change in many, many ways. A psychiatrist, Stephen Groves, said after 25 years, he can say the thing that surprises him the most is how strongly people resist change. And he spoke about how the people were in a restaurant. We're not talking about the virus now. They were in a restaurant, everyone's eating, having a lovely evening, and a fire broke out. And he said there were other doors that said exit with the bright red, you know, light. But said everybody went by the cash register because they wanted to pay their bill, before they got out of the building that was on fire. And I know some of you think, well, I'm smarter than that. I hope you are too. But he said it was just one example of how we are so prone to do the same thing over and over again. Do you know how you button your shirt? It's either the top down or the bottom up. I mean, and you do it the same way every day. We are creatures of habit. It's just the way we are. And we don't like change. A husband who spoke with poor grammar said to his wife, "Change don't come easily." And his wife said, "Doesn't." And the husband said, "Doesn't what?" And the wife said, "Come easily. Change doesn't come easily." So you're agreeing with me? Yes, but then why didn't you just say, "I agree"? And the wife, "We're always arguing," he said. Wife, "I'm not arguing." "Yes, you are." Wife, "No, I'm not." The husband, "Then what is this we're doing?" Wife, "Honestly, I have no idea." Husband, "Well, whatever it is, I'm sick of it. And it needs to change." Wife, "To quote a wise man, change don't come easily." Husband, "Exactly." Friends, change does not come easily to any of us. And yet, we're always wanting change. Isn't that peculiar? It's so hard to change. But it's like we're always wanting to change. When you're young, you want to be old. When you're old, it'd be nice to be a few years younger. On and on it goes. In a study of executives who had made it to the top of their particular companies, 51% said, "I wish I'd have done something else with my life." Oh, that's just wonderful, isn't it? So I'm supposed to be thinking, "I wish I wasn't a preacher." No, we're not saying that. We're just saying change is hard. And yet sometimes we really do want change. In fact, change is really important and change is good. You may have heard about the book titled Never Have Your Dog Stuffed. And the little boy that was 8 years old, he was crying and crying and crying and crying and crying when his dog died. So his dad said to his wife, "Let's get him stuffed." And so they did. And so on the front porch, for way too long, the boy's stuffed dog was there. Well, friends, change may be very hard. And we may not even want change. But can you see change is good? The dog on the front porch, it went south. After a while, he wanted another dog, and you know. So, we really do need change, even if it's hard to come. But the real stickler is that we have to determine what change is good and what change isn't good. Because people change. You meet somebody sometime. You haven't seen them for quite a few years. And you think, what happened to them? Well, that may not happen to you young people, but when you're my age, like we'll go Charlotte to her reunion, or you know, I remember it specifically when my parents passed away, and there'd be people from the community came that I had not seen for, you know, 40 years. It's like, they've really gone down. I mean, it's bad. And of course, they thought the same thing, you can be sure. So we need change, and change is hard, but as we're desiring change, we need to not just think any change is the thing to do. In Lamentations 4, we read, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? And what was he talking about? He was actually talking about the precious sons of Zion who were comparable to fine gold. Just think of that. A fine young man, honest, strong, respectful, a young man that you look, he's going to protect someday a family, he's going to work hard, he's going to be a man of God, he's going to be good. And then we read in Lamentations where Jeremiah says, how is the fine gold become dim? He evidently had some boys in mind. Thought, this is what they're going to be like, and this is what's happened to them. All change isn't good. And we read, for instance, in Romans 1 as well, about those that change the truth of God into a lie. The whole of chapter 1 of Romans is about the decline of society, and it talks, this is the first thing that happened, they changed the truth of God into a lie. It's what happens to a society when they turn away from God and things begin to go bad. It's never good. So we need change. Change comes hard. But it's got to be the right kind of change. And so I want to notice with you some things that are good changes. And we'll begin by noticing the truth of this in Psalm 55:18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. I don't know if you heard that or not. We talked about that change was good, change is hard, change can be bad. Now we're trying to look at what it's like when change is good. And I just want to emphasize with you one more time. Here he says that because they have no changes, they fear not God. If we had no changes, we would not turn to God. Now, I think probably as many people are here, we would have as many probably opinions about what's been going on with the virus. Where it came from, how it's being handled, what we're supposed to do, probably a lot of different reasons. But friends, one thing is true. When life changes, we begin to look to the Lord. Isn't that true? When it's such a big change that things are totally different, we begin to turn to the Lord. We may be asking Him, why did this happen? We may be asking Him, how am I supposed to respond? We may be asking, how am I to deal with others? We may be asking a lot of different questions. But I want you to know that even though we think it would be wonderful to not have changes, especially changes that on the surface seem to be so much against us, I want you to know that God is still with us. Regardless of the problem, God is still there. I didn't say He sent the problem.
I didn't say that the problem in and of itself was good. I didn't say that. I said he can use the problem in a good way to be a blessing to us. And there are too many scriptures that lead us, scriptures that you already know, but scriptures perhaps that we need to just notice again. And it's simply that we love the book of Romans chapter 8, and we should, and he says this, our earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so we are, aren't we? We're looking for Christ to come. We're wanting for heaven to come down, for us to be in glory. But in the verse before that, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. What's he saying? He says, the worst that can happen here, the worst that can happen here. The worst that can happen here cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. What is he saying? He's saying if we're looking at what the Lord has done for us, there is no way that we will think that something here is like a disaster, or we might say the end of the world, or something we can't possibly deal with. No. He says if you're thinking about heaven and the glories of heaven, and friends, I do not want to minimize what's going on. What's going on is awful. There are those here who are desperately needing work. There are those here who your families are right on the front line. There are those who perhaps are so distraught with financially how we'll go on. So I'm not minimizing that. But I'm saying as God's children, as sons of the Lord, as brothers of our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing here that when we think of glory, you say, oh, this is preacher, you know, get a life. This is just, you know, asking me to believe in, you know, something that can't even be true. It is true. It is true. And if this isn't your comfort, may I encourage you to go to the Lord and just beg Him to give you just a little glimpse. I'm not saying the Lord's going to take all the trouble away, but He will give us enough understanding that we'll have the strength to go on. I believe that. I hope you believe it. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Another passage, he says, and again, if you don't believe in God strongly, you're going to say, I don't believe that Bible, and as soon as I can get out of here, I'm not coming back again. I mean, because this is strong, but it's true. Our light affliction. You say, that's enough for me. This isn't light. This is life and death. Dickie, this is the worst thing I've been through. Well, I know, but I don't know like God knows. But He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you say, well, there you go, a moment. It's been 3 months or 2 months. Well, we're looking at this in comparison. You know, as hard as these verses are for me to speak to you, they're spoken in love because I want you to have a sense of strength in the Lord in the midst of this. Because if I was God, I'd just get rid of it. If I was God, I wouldn't have let it come to start with. So I don't know why it's here. I wish it would hightail it out of here. But I do know God loves His people. And His love is not changed in these circumstances. He said, well, this is a weird kind of love. Strange love this God has. Look to the cross. If you can't do anything else, look to the cross. And you'll know He loves you. So He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. In other words, the moment compared to eternity. Not a moment like 1 second. That's not what He's saying. A moment in comparison to eternity. Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us. And that's an unusual statement. A far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's He saying? He says it makes it more apparent to us. It gets it down deeper in us. It's working, it worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The weight or the realization of what He's done for us in Christ. The blessing weighs down upon us. What a wonderful thing it'll be when we no longer have these afflictions. It's not wrong to long to go to heaven. It's just wrong if you want to go before the day's over. So change can be good. We've read those two verses. Helps us think with a greater appreciation. I wish I could learn some other way, don't you? Why couldn't I just read a verse and it would absolutely transform me? Well, I don't have an answer to that, except I'm just depraved. Do you know, let me just read this. It was written about 9/11. So it's when the Twin Towers went down in New York City. And of course, they went down on Tuesday. So it says, on Monday, people fought against praying in schools. On Tuesday, you would have been hard pressed to not find a prayer being uttered in every school. On Monday, people tried to separate each other by race, sex, color, and creed. On Tuesday, they were holding hands. On Monday, people fought against having the Ten Commandments on government property anywhere. On Tuesday, the same people said, God help us all. On Monday, people were upset that their dry cleaning was not ready on time. On Tuesday, they were lining up to give blood. On Monday, politicians argued about budgets and other such things. On Tuesday, they actually sang together, God Bless America. That's amazing. We need change, good change. We need change that's deep change. We need change that brings us more into the understanding of what a great God we have and what a great thing He has done for us. And too often we try to use God to change our circumstances. You can write this one down if you want. Too often we try to use God to change our circumstances, while God uses our circumstances to change us. So when something needs to change in our life, what we have to do is turn to our unchanging God. And I'd like to close out with that thought. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't love you less today than He loved you last week. You say, well, look what He's let happen. That has zero to do with how God loves you. Now, we perceive it that way. I understand. We perceive it that way. But that's a lie. You say, Brother Dickey, that's a bold statement. But it's a true statement. And Psalm 102, he says, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture you'll change them. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Do you have a time in your life, a moment of time, when you remember how you were especially blessed and you knew God loved you? Maybe it's when you were young. Maybe it's when you were in nearly had an auto accident. But is there a time in your life when you were blessed to know in a greater way God loves you? And probably that moment, the greatest moment, is when you came to realize Christ died for your sins. You came to realize, I am nothing, but He died for me. And you were amazed at that, and you were startled at that. And you really couldn't get over it, and you couldn't believe it, and you maybe even told others about it. Well, let's say it's been a while since you had that experience. You know, somebody like me, it can be 50, 60 years since you had the greatest experience of your life. Does that mean He's changed? No. He loves you the same as when He first loved you. Can I go so far and say that He loved you before the world began? He loved you before you ever committed a sin. And He knew every sin you were going to commit, and He loved you anyway. Now that's love. So there's no sin that you can commit, there's no reaction to anybody else's sin that you may commit, there's no experience that you're going to go through that's going to change God's love for you, because God doesn't change. He loved you before the world began. He loved you at the cross. He knew He was good. He saw all of your sins. Your mental sins. You know, your verbal sins. Your sins of omission. Your sins of commission. He knew all of your sins. He loved you anyway. But then He turned to His Son and said, would you die for them? How about that? Would you go down and die for them? And Christ said yes. And so Christ came to die for all of the elect. And the mystery is that when Christ was going to the cross, He said, let this cup pass from me. In other words, Christ said, that was a pretty big deal I agreed to. Is there any other way? And the Lord basically said no. And He sent His Savior to the cross. I'm speaking from God's viewpoint, from Christ's viewpoint. He went to the cross. And then the Father poured out His wrath on His Son. My friends, don't tell me,
nobody loves me, I'm just going to go eat some worms.
You are a worm. You don't need to eat worms. But Christ died for you. You are loved. That love does not change. Friends, again, I wish this had not come upon us. I wish it hadn't affected y'all adversely. That's what I wish. But friends, since the Lord has suffered it to be, it doesn't mean that He's against us or He's opposed to us. In fact, He will use the change as we turn to Him to actually realize His love for us in a greater way than perhaps we have ever known. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I tell you, that's worth remembering too, Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's almost as if it's saying, well, I knew you were going to be that bad, but now that you're actually being that bad, well, no, he doesn't talk like that, does he? It's like he could say, I think I made a mistake with Dickie, you know. No, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now my prayer for each of us is as you go through these changes that God will bless you richly. You will feel His presence in whatever sorrow, whenever a difficulty, whatever change. I pray He will be with you greatly. I pray He will give you a sense and realization in a deeper way of heaven and of His presence with you and what He's done for you in Christ. And I pray that all of us, because I need it desperately as well, will remember, isn't it a phenomenal thing that He doesn't change and His love is the same for us as it's ever been? We thank the Lord for this time with you today. And Brother Joy, you want to sing a closing hymn before we close out online?